Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 265.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom.
All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 265. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. So this particular episode is going to be really fun because it was actually taken, the curriculum and lesson for this is going to be taken directly from the accelerator class that I just taught. So if you haven't heard, I'm running a new accelerator program, and it's all through online Zoom, and I'm able to show my keyboard and everything like that, but I'm having connections and engaging with students, and essentially I create customized plans and provide assignments for students, you know, like live, not like live through videos, like I do that as well, but like it's like studying with me personally, and you get to study with me, my team, you get all access, lifetime elite access to Jazz Piano School, all the materials, and essentially you get to spend time and learn in this small intensive cohort that has many different types of events, open mic nights, guest master classes, pod lessons, group master classes from me, private lessons, all that good stuff. And if you sign up now, it's actually a 5-month program, which is really, really cool. And then the class officially starts September 6th. We are running an early bird special. If you're interested, go to jazzpianoschool.com/small group, but this is the particular curriculum that I taught for the accelerator members this morning, and it's amazing how much I'm learning. I mean, you know, working with students in this capacity, in this form, is really just allowing and exposing all these things that I want to teach you about, right, and bring up and let you know. So it's really, really helpful for me to be doing this in so many ways. Obviously, it's helpful for the students because live in person, they get to, I guess not in person, Zoom in person, but they get to ask me questions about anything I'm demonstrating. Now, obviously, in the chat and YouTube, you can do that as well, but it's just not the same. Like when we're on Zoom, I get to see you, you see me, we get to go back and forth having a conversation. That's a whole different level of, you know, teaching, right? So much more engagement, so much more fluidity to that, and it helps the learning process exponentially, right? So again, if you're interested in joining that class, there are spots left. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/small group. But what I'm going to be doing today is going over the 3 different registers, how to use them in solo piano, because this is so important to understand, to organize your solo piano and understand what you need in each register, right? Because in different registers, you're going to be doing different things. And it's really fun and helpful to understand that, like, okay, in the middle register, you know, when the melody is in the middle register, I'm going to be doing one particular thing. When the melody's up high, I'm going to be doing one particular thing. And when the melody's down low, I'm going to be doing something else, right? So really, really fun. And yeah, I don't think I have anything else. You can get all the podcasts at going to jazzpianoschool.com, and definitely go check out. There's so much information on there. And again, if you're interested in joining our membership, we have a membership, but that's a monthly membership, jazzpianoschool.com. And the accelerator program is our highest program that I've created, and it's super, super fun. I'm going to be developing some more camps and workshops for people to engage with me, which is going to be really, really awesome. You know, improv, solo piano, themed based workshops, and you know, kind of camps, like 1 week, 2 week, 3 week. Again, the accelerator program is the most intensive. It's the most commitment that one can make, a student can make. But man, it's steamrolling me into so many different ideas, cool ideas that people will be able to sign up for, students will be able to sign up for. And again, focus only on solo piano or only on improv. The accelerator program are customized plans focused on by myself I provide them custom for you. That's why it's the highest commitment, because I'm developing customized plans for all the students in there. They get weekly lessons, weekly assignments, all that good stuff. It's managed, you know, all through a digital classroom and stuff like that. So really, really cool stuff happening. Anyway, enough chat. Let's dive into this episode and I'll tell you exactly what we got. Here we go. So obviously you can see here, we got a foggy day up on the chart. Now in the lower register from about C down, what you're going to have here, really, really easy to understand, is left-hand bass notes and right-hand harmonies underneath the melody. Wow, that didn't come out. So, again, if I were to play this tune, I would play something like this. Now, even as the melody starts to move up, like this is above middle C, obviously. I can start to do some spreads, which I'll talk about in a second, but not really. So again, when the melody is C or below, let's say the melody goes down even lower. Right? The melody on My One and Only Love starts on this G here. Right? So down here, that's getting really low. Like, what do we play down here? We really don't have that much opportunity. And so that's the emphasis I'm trying to make, is when the melody is about C, middle C, or down, all our left hand is going to do is bass notes and the right hand harmonies. What you can get away with is shells, first of all. Right? So, for example, on a foggy day, I could do this. So I'm playing shells here and bass note here, which is off the camera there. Right? So this is going to create my harmony. So my harmony, we need shells, bass note, and the melody. So I could do this. If I try and do this, it's a little too muddy. Like if I add a second bass note on my left hand, it gets a little too muddy, right? So we want to put all of our harmonies in our right hand when the melody is C, middle C, or below. This will allow us the best arrangement, the best balance for our sound. Now, what I've chosen to do here is use a rootless voicing, essentially, by adding the 9, right? So now instead of just shells, we're adding a 9 in there, and I'm harmonizing with every single note. And I'm playing the bass note first, right? So that's a very easy concept to just understand, just know. Anytime you're playing solo piano and the melody is C, middle C, or below, just realize that your right hand is going to be playing all the harmonies. Your left hand will only play like bass notes. Now, again, you could add fifths like to this, but this is a particular sound. I'm just talking as a general rule of thumb. Like if you're doing some more modal stuff, you might have like fifths down here, something like this. But again, you're not trying to harmonize tunes or play through jazz standards by using more than one note really in the bass note when the melody's down here, okay? So again, as I'm moving up here, so even here on this E flat over the A minor 7 flat 5, what I'm doing here is I'm just playing the E flat in my right hand and the shells in my right hand below the melody, and I have one bass note. There's really no need to do this. This is too muddy. Right, if I add a second note to my left hand here, I'm adding the E-flat, doubling the E-flat here, it's just too muddy. Now, I could do this, right? This is an okay arrangement where my right hand has three in the melody, my left hand has 1 and 7. Okay, so this is kind of a two-hand spread, and this is the arrangement that I'm going to start to talk about more in the mid to low to middle of the piano. But the thing about this is I'm not really ready to use this yet, because I can get some nice low-end sounds with my bass by doing this. Like, how cool is that? If I were to do this, I kind of lose the option of my left hand to do some nice low-end textures. So why not have my right hand take all the harmonies it needs? I'm not adding any extensions or any fancy stuff yet, just shells and melody, and I can go. And all I'm doing is changing the shells from the A minor 7 flat 5. The melody is the flat 5, so I don't need to add that in again because the melody is a flat 5, right? And then I just change my shells to the D7. Now the melody is the flat 9 here on the D7, so I don't need to add that in either. That's pretty great, huh? So like, check that out, right? So, and then again on this G minor 7, I'm gonna do the exact same thing because the melody's still low here. Again, I could do this, but I'm having fun with my bass motion, right? So when you want bass motion in, bass motion, when you want bass motion, right, and the melody's down low, just have your right hand take the shells and harmonies under your melody. Now, the first step under the melody to harmonize your right hand should always be to add in those shells. Underneath the melody, always get those shells in first, your bass note, and then if you know extensions and you can use them, add them in. Right, so here I added the 9 and the 11. You can just add the 11 or you can just add the 9, whatever you want to do, right? But always get that melody, shells in, and then the bass note, and then add your extensions in if you want. So I would go, right? So this is over the G minor 7. And you could do more motion as well, right? With your left hand. Whatever it is. But the purpose of this low end register in solo piano is to free up your left hand so it can create some really low end harmonies that go all the way down to the low end of the piano, which are great. I never ever hear beginning or even intermediate students use this low end of the piano, right? You definitely should start to use it for those textures, okay? So it frees up your left hand and it allows that low end to come out, and all you need in your right hand is the shells really below. If you want to add some extensions in, if you want, just be careful it doesn't get too muddy. You can do that as well after you've added the shells, right? Now, as you'll see here in the fourth measure of A Foggy Day, the melody finally jumps up to the middle of the staff. So this starts to give us more opportunity to use spreads, right? Excuse me. So in our spreads, what we can start to do is play bigger voicings like this and add left notes to our left hand. Now, again, we're not going to add many notes, just one or two, right? So I might do this. Now, the left hand options I have here, I could play 1 and 7 in my left hand here. Here's my melody, so I'm missing one shell. I could play that here. So this is a thinner texture, right? Because I don't have a low end bass note. And this is a thicker texture because I have a low end 10th here and my 7 here. So there's two options you have. You can do a thinner texture here where your left hand has 1 and 7, or you could do a thicker texture where your left hand has 1 and 3 and your right hand takes a 7. So what we're doing here in the middle of the piano is called spreads. They're two-hand voicings where your left hand has the bass note in one shell. Your right hand has the other remaining shell in the melody. That's what happens in the middle of the piano during solo piano performance. It can also happen like this, 1 and 7, 3, and the melody up top. So it's the same system, but, right? I've just switched it around. Instead of 1 and 3 here and 7, I'm now playing 1 and 7 and 3 here. And that's just based on texture, based on color, whatever you want to hear. Right, so this gives a nice, rich sound. This gives a delicate, you know, thin, kind of beautiful sound. They're both beautiful, but, you know, just in a thinner way, right? So what I can start to do now, after I have this, I can start to add flavors or colorings or spicings to my two-hand arrangement, my two-hand voicing. This is the foundation. So if you know your extensions from here, you can start to add in them if you want, or you can add in your 5 here. I don't particularly like that personally. Again, I would probably choose or opt in to add more extensions. So I could add the 9 here. I could add the sharp 11. I could add just the sharp 11. Right? Or in this arrangement, I could go 9, sharp 11, right? That's the same chord, but a different sound. We're missing the E here this time, right? So So kind of different textures, different variations on that. But the purpose of this middle piano is to get more into that. Now, if we continue with the melody here with the F6, this is where it starts to actually exemplify itself in the middle of the piano. The melody is moved up here now into the first space of the staff. So I have more room to start to use my two-hand spreads between both of my hands because the melody has shifted up. All the, essentially the work, the harmonization you'll always do is going to be between the bass note and the melody. You're going to fill this space with your methods and strategies and systems that I'm teaching you. So 1, 6, 3, melody. That's always the first spread or the first thing you want to get in your middle of the piano spreads. Bass note, melody in both shells. In this case, I have my 6 here and I have my 3rd. Right? I could play a 10th here and the 6 up here. Right? Now, what's the difference between playing this and playing this? Is that when I do this, my left hand's completely occupied and it frees up fingers in my right hand to do whatever I want. You know, I could add sharp 11 and 5, something like that. But when I do this, more fingers are taken in my right hand, so it doesn't allow me to do as many options with colors, right? But still a great option to do this as well. You don't really need much on this F6 chord. So I might add the 5 in here. But here's my spread, right? I don't need to double the 6, but I can if I want to spice things up. So I might do this. So I'm gonna hit my bass note first. Now again, the melody's gonna move up to this A flat over the D minor 7 flat 5. So what do we do here, right? We're still in the middle of the piano, so probably a spread, right? So we might do this. We could do bass note here, melody. Now we need our shells, right? So we could do this. The melody is the flat 5. Now this is pretty thin. In solo piano, we wanna get that lush richness of the bass note in there, usually, sometimes. Now we could do this on the next measure if we want when we go to the G7. So we could go. Now we're getting a low end bass note, right? Or I could do this. I could play a 10th here. Now if you can't reach this, that's okay. Just jump. Right? So just go. Right? Or down. Go the opposite way too. You can go down like that, right? See that? Okay. So our spreads, now that we're using the middle of the piano, start to show themselves because the melody in A Foggy Day is moving up more in the staff. Now finally we get to this G here, G7, which fits so nicely in the piano, right? You got a nice balanced chord here. The bass note's low enough to give some resonance, some lushness. This really isn't. This bass note here is not low enough to give the resonance and lush we need. Right? This is, though. You hear the difference in the balance? So this is a perfect, you know, perfect setting for that melody note right there. That G, and I have my bass note and shells. I'm not filling anything just yet, but you know, I could add extensions here if I want. You know, some sort of extension line, right? But let's just do this for now, just our basis. Bass note, shells, and melody. Now our melody goes up super high. Sorry, my keyboard's being a little funny here. So what do we do here? When we move into the higher end of the piano, we have so many opportunities. Because why do we have more opportunities? We have space. We have so much space. The melody here, and we have all the space to choose bass notes. All the space. Now, obviously, this is too high for our bass note. This is probably too thin for our bass note, right? That's just too much of a thin sound. You can be, obviously, you can use this in certain situations. But this bass note or this bass note is probably going to be best. So what we can do here, if you can't reach this, you can jump to your shells like this, play your melody, right? And this will start to create the foundation for what you need when the melody goes up high. This is the 3rd register, right? So essentially when the melody goes past this G here, okay, above middle C, This is the system, step three, essentially, that you're going to use. Step two was our two-hand spread right in the middle of the piano. I shouldn't say this G here. I'd really say about this kind of C here, depending upon the chord. But you're going to get these nice big spreads as the melody kind of moves up C and above here, right? Because the melody can go up all the way to here on certain melodies, right? You know, so you're going to want to get these big spreads in, or you're going to want to jump from your left hand to get bigger spreads. Now, usually when you jump, you just want to hit shells and have your right hand take the other notes that you want to apply to the chord. What notes should you apply to the chord? Well, you should always ask yourself, do I want to add more chord tones in first to thicken it up? Chord tones will always thicken up your harmonization underneath the melody. So I could do this. I have 5, 7, 3 melody again. I could add the 1 in here. I could add the 7 in here. There's no wrong answer. You can add any of that. Once you've asked yourself about chord tones, if you do know your extensions, you can start to apply extensions. You could add the 9. You could add the 11. I'm adding the 11 and the 5 down here. It's totally up to you. You could just do this if you want. You could add the 7 down here and do this. The point being is when the melody's up high like this, you have so much flexibility and opportunity for bigger spreads in your hands. And it also allows your right hand to add more filler notes, okay, because it also has room. Even if I jump from bass note to shells here and the melody's here, look at all this room right here that I have to fill underneath the melody with my right hand. So many opportunities. Okay, so let's recap this. This is a short lesson, but it's very, very important to understand and just know conceptually as you're moving through new tunes. When the melody is lower, like in the Foggy Day, the beginning of this, all you're really going to be doing here is melody with shells below and then one note in your left hand, just bass note. And don't be afraid to go into this low end of the piano. Sliding into my third here, that's a nice little texture thing. Again, the melody's still pretty low, so I'm opting to use shells underneath my right hand melody still. I could do this with a two hand spread, which is strategy 2, but I'm not. I'm still sticking to strategy 1. So I can get some more bass note action happening in my left hand. I still opt for to use strategy 1 on the G minor 7, right? So again, strategy 1 is melody with harmonizations under your melody, left hand bass note alone. Now on this A natural over the C7, I could come up here for a spread. You know, or this, maybe a sus reharm first into this. Right, with some extensions. But this is a strategy number 2. Now remember, strategy number 2 is melody, bass note. Now our left hand has one shell, and our right hand has one shell, and then we can add extensions here. That's strategy number 2. We've added another note. We've added a shell to our left hand now. So its responsibility has gone up, right? And our right hand has added, you know, is taking the remaining shell plus any extensions or chord tones we want. Now here, as I continue, here, this is a perfect spot, again, for strategy number 2, where our left hand plays the bass note, our right hand has the melody, and then we have shells in between. Excuse me. Right? Now again, I'm still using strategy 2 here. I can play this 10th, but again, if you can't, you can jump to it, or you can play this. This works perfectly fine too. We're still strategy 2, bass note, 7, 3, flat 5, right? Then we go to the G7, still using strategy 2 because we're in the middle of the piano, because the melody is hanging around in the middle of the staff, the middle of the piano here, we're still on strategy 2, right? And then finally it goes up here, now again, to our spreads, strategy number 3 is going to come into a play. So I'm using big spreads to cover the piano, and you can jump like I am. I'm harmonizing 3 extra notes below my melody, and my left hand's jumping to shells on the G minor 7, and that's jumping to shells again on the C7. And underneath the My Melody note, I've added the 3rd and the 13th. So I'm actually doubling the 3 and adding the 13. Could change my extended to flat 13 there. So 3 different solo piano strategies that you'll use in each one of the sections of the piano. And it's highly based off of where the melody is written, which is an amazing thing for you because it's dictating. It's dictating what you should do on the piano. It's not all guess and reason all the time in jazz, right? The melody is actually dictating kind of what you do. Now, obviously, you have a lot of room. I might do this. I could jump up there, but that's all flourish. That's all embellishment, just to play the foundational elements of a solo, good solo piano jazz tune. Without all this embellishment, all you need is the things I'm teaching you here. And all I did there is I added a little bit of rhythm, a little bit of tempo, and I added some rhythmic comping after I would hit melody. So I'd hit the melody and then comp with my other remaining fingers to add some rhythmic pop to the tune. Just like this. Or on the C7, I went to a sharp 9 here, right? My big spread over my D minor 7 flat 5. Now, obviously, from here, everything else are kind of tools, tricks, and like miscellaneous things. So we start to add in some reharms. More extensions, more flourish, more higher advanced voicings, and that's how the sound in your solo piano starts to elevate. But at the foundation, the sections of the piano and where the melody is written will dictate everything you need to know. Hope you guys enjoyed that, and I'll talk to you soon.